Hey girls, Maria Menounos here, author of The Every Girl's Guide to Life. Want to know my best tips and secrets for organization, travel, weight loss, beauty, fashion, and everything else in between? Go to bing.com/Maria and pick up my new book, The Every Girl's Guide to Life.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of New York. Tonight's host is Mari Fagel. Joining Mari will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Deidre Bayer and Jackie Moran. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, Mari Fagel!
Hi, everyone. I cannot wait to talk about all the drama in Morocco. Unfortunately, Deidre cannot join us tonight, but Jackie, are you ready to discuss our favorites and our least favorites? At least I have them. I don't know about you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that changes every minute on this show, and leave it to these ladies to go out of Morocco with a bang. I could not handle this episode.
Okay, well, I have to get your opinion on this because, just to warn listeners tonight, I'm about to go on a Luann hate fest. So for all of you Countess Luann fans out there, I apologize as a forewarning because she, in this episode, became my most hated housewife. Jackie, we'll get into it. Any thoughts? Do you agree?
Well, I think you're going to be surprised, Mari, at my reaction because I may have to disagree on a few counts. I mean, speaking of the Countess, I always go back and forth with all of them, and I did with Luann, and I think you'd be surprised where I actually liked her tonight or on this week's episode versus where I didn't like her as usual.
Well, AfterBuzz wouldn't be the interesting show it was if we didn't have hosts disagreeing. So I have to say that that is very fair, but let me lay out my case against Luann for you here. So let's start out from the beginning of the episode. So the episode picks off right after Jill and Ramona's fight. Jill joins the brunettes and Ramona's with the blondes. Jill comes crying to Luann and Kelly and Cindy, and Luann immediately says, "I will not allow her to treat you that way." Cut to Ramona and the blondes, and Alex and Sonia comforting her, and who comes stomping in but Luann? And she says, "Sweetheart, why are you causing problems? This isn't the last thing I wanted to happen." And the thing that bothers me so much is she peppers these mean statements with things like "sweetheart," "darling," and the way she says it, she's so demeaning. And I really thought the fact that it's not at that point in time, it was right after the fight, the girls were really upset. It's not like any of the blondes went stomping into Jill at that moment when she was upset and vulnerable, yet for some reason Luann felt it her duty to take it upon her and yell at Ramona in the immediate time after the fight. I'm not saying it's inappropriate to get involved. I'm just saying at that moment it is. So, Jackie, what was your take on Luann interrupting there?
Well, first of all, I definitely had a problem with Luann here. I do agree. But her stomping in, her dramatic entrance, was not the worst of the night. I can't wait to get to the worst of the night, which is to come. But in regards to this situation, first I have to address Jill before anything else, because you're supposed to be feeling bad for both of them, and you're supposed to be feeling bad for Ramona. I actually had problems with Luann less than I had problems with Jill and Ramona in this scene, because Jill was all upset. She was supposed to be all upset, yet she's cursing Ramona out. She's saying she can she'll rot in hell before she kisses her ass, and Ramona is typical dramatic. I don't think I've ever seen somebody more dramatic than her laying on the bed. And now it got even worse with this episode because they treated the Pinot Grigio like it was the needle that the medic was supposed to come in with and save her. Like, I could not handle that. Were you appalled by that, or was it just me?
I don't know. At this point, it's typical. At this point, when has an episode in the season not gone by that the girls have called for Ramona's to have her Pinot? So that didn't really shock me.
That took it over the edge for me. Like, somebody get the Pinot. Like, as if it's a doctor. Like, somebody get the doctor. That's what I felt like they were saying with the Pinot. But, of course, Luann was, I do agree, she was very condescending. And that's my biggest problem with her. And it was more like she was concerned with her trip that she planned going perfectly than caring about the way anybody was acting. So, I for now, I'm on the same page with you as far as Luann goes.
And there is no way to get involved, because I will get into Kelly later on, too. But at this point in time in the episode, I thought Kelly handled herself very diplomatically, because right after Luann came in, Kelly came in, and you see the sharp contrast between their behavior, because Kelly comes in and she says, I'm not taking sides. There's no sides here. I don't play teams. Let's just all agree to disagree. And you know what? I thought that was diplomatic and fair, which is such a sharp contrast from Luann saying, why are you causing problems?
I agree. Kelly definitely had the right approach here. And I just have to throw this in, fashion girl that I am. Like, how upset are they to be able to pick up on her dress and be like, oh, nice Pucci, and or, you know, whatever designer they thought it was. And she was like, actually, it's DVF. Like, typical New York housewife there. They may be in Morocco, but they did not lose their New York sense of style. And I love that little comment. But Kelly definitely had the right approach here. Of course, that was.
And I have to say, I thought she looked beautiful in that dress. I thought she looked beautiful that night.
I agree. I loved a lot of the fashions, especially tonight with the special designer gowns, or this week's episode, I should say. I was loving the fashions, and Kelly always looks great.
And now I'm kind of nervous to get into this next topic, only because I have a feeling where you stand on it. But Alex's confrontation with Luann and subsequently with Kelly, because this comes shortly after. I mean, we get a little bit of the girls going to the belly dancing dinner that night and the tour the next day, and you know, Sonia and Ramona's hijinks trying to get a peek at the captain. But really, the next major dramatic piece in the episode was when Alex comes to confront Luann. So let me just break it down for our listeners, and then Jackie, you and I can spar it out on who we thought was in the wrong here. Basically, you know, Ramona's crying to Alex about how sad and sick she is over this, and she's telling Alex that Luann hurt her feelings and that she's very passive-aggressive towards her, and so Alex takes it upon herself to confront Luann. She agrees to be Ramona's wingwoman. So Luann's getting her henna tattoo with Kelly and Cindy. They hear stomping that's, like, literally, it was crazy. I think Sonia referred to it as, like, a dynasty entrance on her blog. But, and Kelly, I mean, Alex starts it out diplomatically. She says, I'd like to have a word with you when you're done. But the girls all harass her. They're saying, you know, get it out. What is it? What is it that you can't say in front of us? And I hated. There's in my notes, I'm not sure, Jack, if you saw in my notes here, all I keep saying after everything that Luann says is, ugh. Because she's like, she's trying to interrupt our henna. And then meanwhile, this is a really astute observation that came in later in the episode, I think from Alex. Anytime Kelly is uncomfortable with the conversation, anytime it makes her uncomfortable, she just wants to shut it down. So Alex is trying to get in a word, and Kelly just keeps saying, it looks weird. What you're doing, it doesn't look normal. It's weird. It's weird. It's weird. Over and over. And I just kept thinking in my head, Kelly's so crazy. She's just hoping someone else, like, holds the crazy hat on this trip, and she's trying to push off on Alex when really Kelly's coming off as crazy. I mean, there's so much more to get into, but let's start out with it. So what did you think of Alex's approach?
Okay, well, here's where we have to hash it out, because after you approach after you come in and make that dynasty entrance, as Sonia liked to joke, or I think as Luann said, what is that, a buffalo coming down the stairs? Which actually made me like her because it was so ridiculous. I'm sorry. I actually do think Alex is a nice person. And the second she got downstairs, it's almost like she realized in her own head she was being ridiculous, but she had to stick with it now that she made this dramatic entrance. But I just can't get over this entrance. It was the worst, in my opinion. Huffing and puffing, even though she tried to calm herself down, she was still huffing and puffing, saying, I need a word with you. Obviously, if Luann's getting a henna tattoo, she's not going to be able to get up and have a word with her. So why would you stomp in, literally, as Luann said, like a buffalo, and then act like you need a word with her when you know very well that she can't get up and have a word with you right now?
She said, I need a word with you when you're done. She said, when you're done, though.
I know, but it was too ridiculous for me. I just couldn't, and I do think Alex was nice, but this was, I really could not agree with Alex here. I could not feel bad for her. And Kelly, it was weird, but then she got weird by saying the word weird 1,000 times. So Kelly, as well, was on my bad list here because she was going crazy herself over trying to tell Alex not to go crazy. I mean, and she was almost making fun of her, in a way condescending her in her own way by, like, taking her outside and telling her to stop being weird and go do it again. I mean, I totally did not like Kelly in this scene either. But you know what? Here's what I thought of Luann. For once, I liked her here because it wasn't passive-aggressive. It was straight out, come here, tell me what you need to say. I actually like Luann's bitchiness here. I couldn't believe it, but I did. I'm sorry, Mari. Are you mad at me for that?
I totally did not. All I kept writing the whole time was, ugh, bitch. Because she was so condescending and so demeaning, and that's what I hate so much about Luann. Everything that comes out of her mouth is, like, just everything is condescending. She says, stay in your own business, not in my business. You can go now. Go back to the cabin you came from. Like, that's rude. She's just being rude and a straight-up bitch. And so that's why I didn't like her. And Kelly, I don't dislike Kelly. I actually appreciated it because when she brings the crazy like no one else can, and it makes it so entertaining. I was laughing out loud when Kelly was like, and now you ruined my tattoo. Who's going to fix this? Santa? And I was like, what is she saying? Where is this coming from? She was like insane. Kelly like literally went insane. When you watch Kelly, it's like watching a train wreck. And so Kelly's not a bitch. She's just straight up crazy. But Luann is a bitch. And I have to say, in defense of Alex, we knew from the beginning she's awkward. We knew from the beginning she like breaks out in hives and she doesn't like confrontation. And she tried to handle it diplomatically. She tried to say, when you're done, I'd like to have a word for it with you. And I understand she was huffing up puffing because she's kind of awkward. But Luann just took that awkwardness and totally tore her to shreds in front of all the other girls. And they were all harassing her. They were like, get it out now. Get it out now. And pushing her. They wouldn't let her talk. It was a bunch of bullies. And Luann was the leader of the pack.
You're right. She was the leader of the pack. But you know what it was? I think it was that she was so bitchy that she owned it, as girls love to say. And she sold it for me here. I mean, there's been other times where her condescending snaps here and there just get on my nerves, but she was, like, so outwardly evil here that as a viewer, I loved it. If I were in the room, I would have totally felt different. But being a viewer, I actually kind of loved it.
I want to find that part in the blogs where they're talking about, Alex talks about Luann in her blog, and she says, Luann, on the other hand, she knows very well how she should behave, but chooses not to do that, which is worse in my book.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I get that. Like, she does know how she should behave, but it was like you stepped on her toes in the wrong way, and she had the claws out, and I just loved it. I love the claws from Luann here. I don't know why.
I don't like the claws because it's still passive-aggressive, even though she's being, like, outwardly bitchy here, and I get that. For someone who claims to carry herself with such grace and such manners, being an outright bitch, that totally contradicts that.
I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll have to agree to disagree here, but, I mean, even with Kelly...
As Kelly said earlier, agree to disagree.
Oh, really? See how that goes? So I have to go back to the blog for a second because I do not want to miss this. I love that Alex says, and by the way, I've never gone by, I guess the name in quotes, Alexa, idiot, to Kelly. So,
and I also love the Northwestern plug there. Go Wildcats.
I love it. I love Alex speaking up here. I mean, she was dramatic in the episode. I'd rather listen to her blog some more because she had the best blog this week, I think.
I know, seriously. I am starting to like Alex more and more and dislike Luann more and more. And this episode didn't give us any shortage of, like, drama and fights to feel out where we side on with these characters and with these women. Because,
by the way, call out the fact that while Alex is trying to take her wingman position so seriously, what did you think of Sonia and Ramona acting ridiculously silly upstairs and sneaking out? And, like, Ramona didn't even seem too fazed compared to the way Alex was acting.
You know what? Sonia, I love Sonia and the way she handled it with Ramona, because instead of, like, you know, trying to take it upon herself to stick up for Ramona and for the other girls, she was like, you know what, I'm just going to make Ramona laugh and smile and forget about it. And that's exactly what Ramona said. She says, I love you two girls, Alex, you stick up for me, and Sonia, you made me crack up all night. And I love their hijinks. I think they're fun, and they're like the two Bobsy twins, and I love it.
I do. I love Sonia. So, obviously rebounding very well. She must have had a few glasses of PG.
If that's what you need to get you through the night and get you through these girls in Morocco, then more power to you. But I want to talk about I call this the dinner from hell, which I got from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills episode. That was the dinner party from hell. This wasn't quite to that extent, but it was all kinds of crazy. And once again, the cameras ominously seemed to not capture the major part of the miscommunication. So Luann claims that Ramona and Alex and Sonia asked to have their dinner served to them upstairs and to not join them for dinner. The blondes, Ramona and Alex and Sonia, claimed that they did not know what time dinner was, and Sonia and Ramona claimed that they just asked for a snack to be delivered and that they were always planning on going to dinner. So, conspicuously, we don't know what exactly happened, but we can each share our thoughts. So before we get into the fight over dinner, what do you think, Jackie? Do you think they knew what time dinner was, or they didn't, or what?
Again, very clever of the producers to leave us wondering, but Ramona eventually admits to saying, oh, maybe I forgot. So up until she said that, though, I really truly believe that they didn't know, and I still kind of believe Alex and Sonia, who say they didn't know, and that's where we left off with them. But Ramona let it sneak out of her mouth a little bit that, oh, yeah, maybe I did know. And so I was surprised by that because up until then, I truly did believe that they were unaware. What did you think?
I totally agree with you up until she said that. And then once she said that, I thought maybe they originally decided they didn't want to go to dinner. And then either the producers stepped in and was like, it's going to be more dramatic this way. Or they decided, you know, hey, we're okay to go to dinner. We're ready. Let's do this.
Right. Yeah, something went on there. I'd love to know more, but Ramona kind of let the cat out of the bag, I think.
Yeah, but I have got to talk about Luann in this scene. So first, when it's just the brunettes at dinner, she is bad-mouthing Alex behind her back, saying Alex's behavior was appalling. She's ruining this trip with her petty crap. Literally as Luann is talking, Alex walks in, and Alex is like, oh, I'm here for dinner. And Luann is such, another off I wrote, because Luann just says, the kitchen is closed, but I guess we'll make it work. And I just, oh my God, sorry, this is the worst part. I'm reading my notes here. This is the worst, when Alex claims that she didn't know that dinner was at 8, and Luann, this is the most demeaning, condescending thing. She says, I know you know better than that. You have an education, so I'm surprised by your behavior. Is that not the most demeaning thing? Like, I really hate the way that she phrases things. Like, I get that you're upset that she's late. You should say, you know, Alex, I think that's rude that you showed up late. Not, you have an education. I'm surprised by your behavior. I just really dislike the way she phrases things. What did you think?
I actually agree with you on that phrase. That was so typical Luann. Here she goes flip-flopping with me, because now she's talking behind Alex's back, which is what I hate the most. And she called her Dracula, which I'll throw in there. And as you said, petty crap and all this. And then she walks in, you're right, which was, like, I just would have loved to have been Alex there catching them in the act. And here's where I like Alex again, because Alex tried to sit down, be appropriate. You're obviously not going to make up over dinner in front of all the other ladies. So even when she knew the kitchen, as Luann said, the kitchen is closed, I mean, aren't they in their own house? How is the kitchen closed? Like, can't you walk into the kitchen and get your own food?
I mean, that's what Ramona ended up doing.
Right, so that was, Luann was ridiculous here, and then she came in with that condescending remark. That flip-flopped my opinion of her very quickly, because you're right, that was so demeaning. And it didn't even make sense. What does having an education have to do with knowing when dinner was? Totally ridiculous.
I just think that she's straight-up rude, and Alex tried to sit down at dinner, and they, like, literally push her out of dinner. Between Luann's rude and condescending remarks and Kelly going off and crazy again and not letting Alex get a word in edgewise, they literally, like, pushed her out of dinner. And then once Alex gets pushed out of the scene, who comes down now but Sonia and Ramona? And the most priceless part of the episode was when Sonia and Ramona show up. Luann's face. Oh, my God. And then her tone, yet again, you're late. Dinner's done. Like, she's so rude. And then you know what I love about Ramona? Because the thing is, Ramona can be a bitch. Ramona can say wrong things, but she owns it. And so I love how she said right back, that was a snack, darling, that we arranged, darling. And she keeps saying darling. And I love that. And then Luann can't handle it. She storms out. I hated Luann this episode.
Well, I have to agree, just going back to Kelly for a second, Alex was even like, I'll eat my own salad. I'll just eat the salad. That's fine. He was trying in every way to not make it uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And Kelly was literally, with physical action, pushing her. You need to go. You need to go. That's
yeah.
not right. I mean, Kelly might not
and
be
Alex's
trying.
Assessment was dead on when she said when Kelly isn't comfortable, she needs to shut down whatever conversation makes her uncomfortable.
Right. Like, who is Kelly to decide that she should push her out now because it's the right thing to do? I mean, again, I don't think Kelly's totally evil. She's straight up crazy, as you said. But that's just not right. I just did not like that at all coming from Kelly. And then, you're right, Ramona walking in being like, what's for dinner? Here I am, typical Ramona. That was great. And you're right, gave Luann a taste of her own medicine because she was standing up to her, imitating her to her face. Typical Ramona saying everything she's thinking and literally trying to prove to her that she just ordered a snack upstairs. She goes and gets the snacks, which I love. She's like, here, look, this is what I ordered. I thought that was great.
I liked Ramona here because at least she was honest. And probably my most hated Luann moment is coming up. So after Ramona approaches Luann and she says, She says, I'm sorry there was a miscommunication. You know, I didn't know what time it was, or I forgot what time it was, whatever. And Luann is like, darling, you were an hour and a half late. You were told exactly what time dinner was. This is not the Plaza Hotel. You can't order whenever. The worst part, the worst thing Luann said in this episode was then she claims that she's on Ramona's side. And she says, I'm here for you whenever. And then this is a kicker. She brings up the card reader's prediction of that Mario may be cheating on her. And she's like, you know, I'm here for you whenever if you need me. Insinuating that her husband is cheating on her. That was such a low blow. That was the most classless thing I saw in the episode coming from someone who purports to have such class.
I agree, especially because that had nothing to do with what they were, like, there was no reason to bring that up. And
no, it came out of nowhere.
Right, and I like what Ramona did throughout this whole scene, because she confronted her at first, grabbing the snacks, keeping it light, though, and not bringing out that Ramona craziness. And then she even agreed to go apologize for the miscommunication. And so why is Luann, like, bringing this up? And then, you're right, ending it with saying, I'm here for you. I like that Ramona calls her out and says, after the, you know, commenting on the scene, saying, I don't think she's here for me. I think she wanted to believe that the card reader was right. And that's not a friend looking out for you. If you heard that the card reader was right, and then you offer your support and say, I'm here for you, that's a friend. But not jumping the gun, acting like it's that really happened. I mean, what is this card reader? Who would believe this card reader anyway? And why are you bringing it up here in this instance? And I'm a little surprised that Ramona let that go at that exact moment. But she probably...
I know. Me too, because I thought that was one of the worst things that she said to her.
Right, and she just let it go, which I was really surprised, but yet she proved that she knew how wrong that was by saying, I don't believe her at all. But again, this was where Ramona got caught, because she did say, oh, maybe I did know it was at 8, dinner was at 8. So maybe she was just trying to sort of get out of the whole dinner debacle and not have it turn into another Jill Ramona blow up. So I was a little surprised at how it ended up on a good note, but everything changes very quickly in this show.
Yeah. And let's contrast Luann with Jill here, because then soon after, or that was their dinner the night before, their last day where they're packing, and Jill decides that she is going to go to Ramona's room. She has to drop off a bathing suit that she borrowed, and she decides to make up. And I really was very pleasantly surprised by Jill and her behavior here. She says, I really care about you. If I didn't, I wouldn't be so emotional. I think we're too hard on each other. We're too petty. And I love this line. Friendship with women is like a book. You have good chapters and bad, and let's start a good chapter. And I thought that she was very classy. And when you're classy like that, the response is, how can you respond with anything other than being classy? So then Ramona sits back, you know, if you're upset, come to me. Let's be more sensitive to each other. So I was really proud of Jill. I think she's really grown from last season and from her fight with Bethany.
I'm sorry, Mari, to tell you this, but I'm going to have to disagree with you again, because on the surface, if you look at that scene, not counting anything before or following it, Jill comes off great. She comes off classy. She comes off genuine and, you know, heartfelt. And you really want to believe her. But I have to look at the bigger picture here and call her out, because I think this was a load of bull. I think the whole scene was so fake on Jill's behalf. She acted it out very well, saying she's a real friend. But really, is she a real friend when you look at what she was saying maybe 20 minutes ago, calling her a piece of shit, and sorry for the curse words, but that's quoting her here, and saying she'll rot in hell before she kisses her ass? How can she sit on the bed and say, I really care about
you? No. That, she said those things when she was caught up in the moment right after the first fight, and she was upset. And then she had some you know, a day or two to calm down and to think it over. So I still think what Jill did was classy.
I see what you're saying, that you want to give her the benefit of the doubt, that we all scream things in our fits of emotion and you don't even remember what you said. But I'm going to have to say one more thing in defense of my opinion here. On her blog, she also comments, "I really don't know what to do about our relationship at this point," meaning with Ramona. "We'll see what happens at the reunion." So if she really...
No, I know. Obviously, things have gone down since then, which I'll discuss in news and gossip as well. Obviously, things have gone down since then. I'm just saying at this moment in time, I thought Jill was classy.
I agree. On the surface, she was classy. But then again, all of these girls have different intentions underneath the surface. So I guess she's no different than all of the other housewives.
Yeah. And I'll talk a little bit about Mario back in New York. I think I'm going to do that before we do our preview of next week. So let's just, before we go to commercial break, let's wrap up the Morocco trip. You know, they had their cooking class. And they all got in their caftan, their homemade caftans and their makeup. And, you know, they all talk about their favorite moments, and the trip ends on a good note. What did you think of that final dinner?
I think I totally agree with how they ended the night, you know, the whole trip, not just the night, but the whole trip. I love how Sonia is stepping in to take credit for every fabulous restaurant and every fabulous event that takes place in Morocco. It's like she's the Moroccan expert all of a sudden. She's taking over Luann's position here. But you got to love Sonia and, you know, her connections and the belly dancing, and everything was great throughout this episode as far as the tribute to Morocco. And they did end on a nice note. And I actually could really connect to this, because every time I'm leaving a trip with friends or my family, I love sitting down and recapping, like, my favorite moments. And so I could really connect to this scene. And, of course, they did the Sex and the City makeup and the fabulous dresses by that designer. So I totally loved soaking all of it in. Did you have a favorite dress?
After a hellish and dramatic trip, that was a good note to end on. I liked Kelly's dress and her cleavage.
And see, here I like Sonia and her dress, which I think was actually not even one of the designers. I think that ended up being the only one that wasn't the designer's dress, but I love the way Sonia looks. Kelly too, but I thought Sonia looked beautiful.
Yeah, and I loved the makeup. But let's go to a quick commercial break before we come back for news and gossip and our predictions.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
It's television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
The wig will come out.
When the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on.
Okay, so let's get into some news and gossip for this week. We got some good items here.
TV news.
So first off, Real Housewife Cindy has found herself embroiled in a racial discrimination suit. A former employee of Completely Blair claimed she was hazed and eventually fired because of her skin color. She has some pretty heavy allegations here. She said she was verbally abused by coworkers and systematically underpaid. All of her interviews leading up to her hiring were over the phone, and she says once she came into the office and they realized she was black, she was paid only half of her $700 weekly salary. The money was given to her in cash, and everyone was making racist comments towards her. So these are some pretty heavy allegations. And Cindy wrote that she was fired because of the quality of her work. So we'll have to see how this unfolds. The only thing I can see that would back up Cindy's claims is I hope that Cindy has managed in her completely bare staff to have a pretty racially diverse staff who can attest to the fact that they've been treated well, because if not, I don't know.
Yeah, this is a tough one because it's someone's word against yours, and when you become famous, you're a target, and it's very hard to be able to know the true story here. I guess I just want to hope that it's not true, because I really think Cindy seems like a good businesswoman, comes off as a good businesswoman, and level-headed when it comes to that. So I'd be really disappointed if this were true.
Yeah, it doesn't seem true to me. It seems like a woman is taking advantage of Cindy's 15 minutes of fame. And just because she seems so, I don't know, she seems like a nice person, so I don't think it's true. But let's move on to our next piece of gossip. Jill and Ramona's fight clearly has continued once past the cameras rolling, because at a swanky Hamptons party on June 10th, people are claiming Mario, Ramona's husband, verbally attacked Jill. One eyewitness says it was really sad. The guests didn't believe that a man would speak to a woman like that. Mario was calling her every name in the book. According to E!, Mario was angry that Ramona was portrayed as a drunk and felt as though it was Jill's fault. But Ramona was not present during this fight. Jill's rep said, "It's unfortunate what happened, and sadly, the reports are accurate. Jill has decided to take the high road and will not comment on their antics. It was appalling." But Ramona claims that Jill's camp is making up exaggerated stories to make her look bad. So, too bad the cameras weren't rolling on all this, because this was quite dramatic.
It sounds dramatic, and I've actually, by the way, I ran into Jill and her husband at a Hamptons party in the past, and she definitely is very animated at her Hamptons parties, I have to say. So I would have loved to have been at this one. It's a shame that I wasn't, but if I were Mario, wouldn't you be pretty upset if your wife was being portrayed as a drunk, when clearly I think we all know she doesn't really have issues with alcohol? Besides the fact that she just likes a certain kind of wine, it can get very annoying. But, I mean, wouldn't you...
I would be more upset that people are insinuating that he's cheating.
That, too. So he has a lot to be upset about. So I don't know. I can't blame him. But, of course, they all know better manners than that, and they shouldn't cause antics at a party. So I would have loved to have seen this play out.
The thing is, I can't blame him for being upset, but he shouldn't have targeted towards... But I just wanted to ask you this quickly, because this was a small part of the episode. What did you think about when the cameras were back in New York City and it was Mario and Simon and a couple of the house husbands, and someone asked, when are the girls due back? And Mario said, I don't know. And then they were talking about Vegas, and he said, what happens in Vegas stays there. And then he's telling Simon to email the photo to Dubai, and Simon's like, oh, she's in Morocco. And he says, oh, well, whatever. Personally, I thought this was all editing and the producers trying to make him look bad and trying to insinuate that the prediction is unfolding as true.
Right. I agree in the way that I think he was just being a typical guy. I think my boyfriend would be the same way, not knowing exactly where I might be. And him leaning in for a picture... I mean, there was no harm there. I really didn't see anything going on that I would question on his end. And I do agree that producers just... I almost felt like the whole scene was planned, and it just... They desperately tried to make something out of nothing.
Yeah, and I think that all those comments were over a couple of hours, but when you splice them all together back-to-back, it looks bad. So I really think it was editing and producing there.
I agree. Coming from a bad...
But let's get to our last piece of news and gossip. The Housewives are claiming Bethany Frankel tried to ruin the Real Housewives of New York City One of the current cast members, we don't know who, said, quote, during filming and again prior to our fourth season airing, many articles popped up stating that Real Housewives would flop after Bethany's departure. Many of these seem to be veiled leaks by Bethany and her team designed to hurt us and boost her own spinoff. Unfortunately for them, those plans didn't pan out because actually it turned out that the second season of Bethany Ever After has dropped 22% since its debut, and its audience is 40% smaller than Real Housewives.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Bethany, you know, just because you leave Housewives doesn't mean the drama ends. It seems like it never ends, but, I mean, Bethany has a lot to be proud of, but, I mean, I don't think she would outwardly try to sabotage a show that made her who she was, and a show that's on the network that she's on. So, I mean, I think everything is for publicity. I don't think Bethany's trying to ruin anything, but, I mean, compared to the ratings and everything, you know, maybe she should just enjoy her skinny girl fortune and let this play out. Thanks.
Yeah. So, let's get into our prediction before we wrap up this episode.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So, I think that Ramona and Mario and the whole prediction is going to rear its ugly head again. She confronts him about it and tells him about this prediction. I mean, unless he really did do something, I really think this is all the producers stirring up drama. And I really don't like that because it's like, isn't there drama enough? And they seem to have such a healthy marriage based off of last season, and they had their commitment ceremony again. And I really don't like that a reality show producers go that far as to mess with a marriage. I don't think it's right.
I agree. I think it's taking it a step too far with the Ramona Mario thing going on here. The storyline is just, I'd rather see it come go as quick as possible. Because I am much more excited about Luann turning up that factor and more confrontations and more Luann drama. It seems like we're going to have a lot to fight about here, Mari.
I know, seriously. I cannot wait for Luann and Alex's confrontation. I seriously can't wait. And then finally, I mean, we knew about this back in November that Sonia declared bankruptcy, but now we get to see it unfold for the cameras, which I think will just be sad. And I hope that her friends rally around her.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tender moment for Sonia, who's usually very bubbly and happy. I mean, we saw a few tears here and there, but I think this is going to be sort of a nice win for her. Just not that that's something you want somebody to go through, but a different side of Sonia, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out.
Yeah, well, I'm mostly looking forward to Luann Alex fight and to discussing it with you next week, Jackie. Let's see where we lie. And I had a wonderful time talking with you this week, and next week we'll have Deidre with us, too, to see, get her opinion.
Yes, we'll have much more to talk about. I know that.
Well, thank you so much, and join us next week.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.